Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to What Jail Is Like!
Oh, yeah!
My name is Mark, with me are...
Eric.
And Matt.
But it's a different kind of Matt. It's our friend Matt Metter.
Yeah, I'm the garden variety, Matt.
The garden variety?
Yeah.
Yeah, he plays well in the Midwest.
Yeah, I do.
That's why
you get me to the coast, I'm nothing.
Yeah.
The salt dries me out like a pretzel. I can't really do anything.
That's just a barrage of imagery right there.
Mr. Trupia is in Florida right now, as I interpreted his hastily scrawled crayon message.
Yeah, he's visiting his grandparents.
Yes.
Down in Florida. I believe it's, I think it's Titusville, which is funny in itself.
It's pretty funny.
Evil that Titus left.
Yeah. God.
Call to all you pregnant mothers, especially you pregnant mothers who are, you know, gearing up to try to have the millennium baby. Titus.
Oh,
Titus.
Titus
is a great
Titus
name.
Ramson.
Yes. Titus.
Who wants to bear Titus Ramson? Give us a call.
That would be phenomenal.
Who wants to bear Titus Ramson? That's going to have to be.
Not 359 Fly Weft. Fly Weft.
Mr. Trupia is down in Florida picking up on all kinds of great old folks material. I mean, just tune in for his next appearance. We're going to have some great elderly fun.
He actually called me at home. And he said he's working on this great Geritol routine.
Really?
He gave me a little bit of it. It's really funny. Like, it started off like this. It was like, "Hey, honey, where's my Geritol?" And then it was something about like, "Well, I don't know. I don't think we ain't got any Geritol."
What a sight!
It was really,
that's
really
great.
Funny. Well, I lose something because I'm saying, but the way he says it.
Oh, I bet. Of course, he's going to have to forget it so he can improvise it on the
right.
Air.
Right. Right. Well, but that's okay. We do that all the time.
That's a short thing. Yeah, we need to do more material about dentures. I mean, those are funny, like teeth that come out and then you put
them
back in.
They're not funny, okay? When I was 8 years old, my Uncle Dennis said, "Hey, Eric." And I said, "Yes, Uncle Dennis?" Now, keep in mind that my Uncle Dennis had me fooled into believing that he was the intergalactic commander of a super secret space force.
This was when you were 22?
Woo! And my grandma was the supreme commander, my grandma. And so Dennis would call and he'd talk to my family and stuff. And then I get on the phone and he'd be like, "Eric, you're wearing your blue pajamas." I'm like, "Ah, you know." And he's like, "I've got some men watching you out the window. You can't see them. They're invisible." And, part of my brain knew that he had just asked my parents what I was wearing. But part of me just really wanted to believe in my Uncle Dennis and his, you know, interstellar origins. And the fact that my grandmother was the supreme commander of some highly, technological... interstellar space force. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. Grandma's rocking. But anyway, one time he said, "Eric, come here." And I said, "Okay, Uncle Dennis." So I went over there and he said, hit me in the back of the head real hard. I said, "What?" He's like, "Smack me in the back of the head really hard." I said, "I don't want to do this." He's like, "I'm tough, do it." So I said, "Okay, Uncle Dennis." And I smacked him in the back of the head and he spit his dentures out across the table instead of going, "Oh, you knocked my teeth out, you knocked my..." And I cried and locked myself in the bathroom for 2 hours. 2 hours. I'm like, "I killed Uncle Dennis. I knocked his teeth out." And then he had to come in and go, "No, see, they're fake," which was even more disturbing. It was weird. There was, no way to come out of that.
And it was tough because, we had to get you out of that bathroom to get you in here to do the show.
I don't have been there since.
Yeah. My grandmother used to take out her teeth. And it was just like, it's amazing how different a person looks after when they don't have any teeth. And she'd take them off and her lips would be all wrinkled and nasty. And she'd chase us around saying, "Give Grandma a kiss." And it was the scariest thing.
Did you grow up in that town from Green Acres?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just outside of Titusville.
I'm wondering if, the fact that so many of the elderly these days have dentures is related somehow to the fact that, between, say, 1900 and 1950, you read predictions for the future about in any of the popular material in those times, and everyone thought meals were going to be in a pill. You know, your entire meal for a day is going to be a single pill. You pop it in your mouth. And so were they just not taking care of their teeth, figuring, the pill food will arrive sooner or later? Who doesn't really,
I don't know. Possibly. I would think that that whole fad in the early 50s of proving how safe nuclear power was and actually eating depleted uranium, like candy, I think that might have had something to do with the bad dental state of people from that generation.
Also the whole, popular fad of knocking each other's teeth out.
Yeah, well,
yeah, just punching each other in the mouth,
repeatedly.
The big Chubby Checker dance craze from 1950. Punch me in the mouth and knock out my teeth.
Punch me in the mouth.
Well, it was like, for a while,
come
I mean,
on,
I don't know when humans lost the ability to regenerate teeth, much like a carcarinated shark. I don't know. It's like, I think it happened somewhere in the 60s, because it used to be like just endless teeth. They were actually modified scales.
Audio footnote. Listeners out there may be wondering, what am I going to get from this Matt Metter guy? I know Matt Trupia brings the funk, but what will Matt Metter add to the show? Answer, he knows stuff about animals and insects. And audio footnote.
What's an ovipositor?
An ovipositor is a... Oh. It's like, it helps, it's what insects lay their eggs with. Actually, it's not just limited to insects, it's also... Some like fish have an ovipositor, mm-hmm. like a Gambusia finis, the mosquito fish.
Strangely named after an insect.
Wait, you know what? That's a lie. It's just like I know like these tidbits from different things, and I try to put them all together in one scientific mash, and it's all lies. Everything's a lie.
You know who else has an ovipositor? Is Emperor Zerzan of planet Alpha Centauri 4.
Yes, much like an ichneumonid wasp.
Mm-hmm.
Well, deposits these eggs in the still warm bodies of us.
Which is exactly what happened to sometimes co-host Peter Gray.
Oh yeah,
he's in the hospital right now, riddled with ovum.
If you've heard the Jackson 5 number or the Mariah Carey remake "In the Still of the Night," that's exactly what they were talking about.
Yeah, it's very thinly veiled. If you didn't catch on to that, you're not paying enough attention.
Hmm. So, to insert a really down note towards the beginning of the show, if you look in the handbook of comedy, it says, you know, open your show with a really miserable thing. That's just a great way to set the tone.
Well, because you can only go up from there.
Yes. Want to note another entry in the rapid, unfortunate slaughter of comedic giants in this world.
Uh-oh, I probably don't know this one. I'm going to cry or not.
Earlier today, it was reported that Shirley Hemphill, of What's Happening and What's Happening Now, you'll have to imagine your own double exclamation points, died at the age of 52.
Oh, wow.
Was that the
Shirley.
Shirley.
Shirley, yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
She was a great woman.
She really was a great woman.
A comedic giant in every sense of the word.
In every sense of the word.
A comedic titan.
You know, it's one of those... I read the report, the newspaper article, and it said that she died of natural causes. It's one of those things that just makes you kind of wonder that she's dying of natural causes at age 52. Kind of makes you suspect that maybe perhaps, Raj got in with the military-industrial complex. Maybe the military-industrial complex ran up a bill they didn't want to pay. The military-industrial complex didn't want to wash dishes to pay off the bill to Shirley. So the military-industrial complex took out Shirley. Yeah.
It's right up there with most JFK.
Extremely suspicious.
It really is.
I mean, what was Rerun doing on the grassy knoll?
Seriously.
What was
probably attempting to break dance, but his big fat ass couldn't do
it. In the Zapruder film, like, you can't really tell it's Rerun. It's just a large mass that looks kind of like a tree. Mm-hmm. But like we've got digital imaging technology here, and we cleared it up, and it's, you know, still, you know, there's resolution problems, but you can definitely tell it's a Rerun. He's got a backwards.
It becomes much clearer in the sequel. What's Zapruder filming now? And, you know, yeah. It's Rerun. He's a little older.
I mean, come
obviously.
On. See, the thing D is, was so framed. Like, wasn't D the sister?
D. Yes.
Dee Dee.
Dee Dee.
D. Or is it D?
It's D, I think.
Dee Dee D.
Dee Dee T.
She added the third D in 82, I think.
We'll have the research team look into it.
Franca! Franca! Yeah! Find out! Is it D or Dee Dee or Dee Dee D? Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad we found a Franca.
Yeah, yeah.
And she didn't mind us dyeing her hair bright red when she slept.
Run!
Oh, Franca, you mystical woman.
Oh, she's such a saucy little thing, isn't she? Look at her swish. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Anyway, Dee was so framed. I mean, you know, she was groggy when they found her in that book depository. She didn't know what was going on. And there's no way. She's not a marksman.
No.
Yeah.
No training whatsoever.
Anyway.
Speaking of, marksmanship, I have the opportunity to take everybody, any university student has the opportunity to take a marksmanship class.
Yeah, I noticed those flyers all over the place.
The guy who teaches it, I'm in a class that he teaches right now. It's military mountaineering.
Really?
And it's really a lot of fun. And it's just like, next, I don't, God, if I could go shoot an M16, how great would that be?
And get a grade for it?
Seriously.
Oh, I'm sorry, you didn't kill enough foreigners.
You have to learn, you know, you got to learn all kinds of other stuff, too. Like, probably how to clean the guns and...
Yeah.
Maybe the...
How to file down the nut so you can get an extra round in the gun.
You know, I fully support the militias taking over U of I. You know, would anyone notice?
All right, your next final will be you have 15 seconds to illegally convert this Desert Eagle firearm.
I mean, it kind of assumes. I mean, most conventional thinking holds that the day is going to be, you know, January 1st. And so, you know, there's no use preparing for mass military action after the day because we're going to convert into barbaric feudal states. But on the odd chance, it doesn't.
Did you say barbaric?
Barbaric.
Oh, they said barbaric.
Yeah, that was a little-known movement from the early 1800s where everybody just lived in barns and threw cows at each other.
And it's now a little-known subset of pornography wherein people bear their barns kind of shamelessly.
Wanton barn-bearing heathens.
It's dirty stuff. I've seen it. I knew a guy. He used to sell the videos out of a cooler. It was...
Ooh.
It's a large man.
Harder to find than snuff films.
Really?
Yeah. But only just.
But the film that Joel Schumacher made with Nick Cage about barn barrack pornography. Yeah. It's
32mm.
Hell of a gripping
film. Actually, I think it was Cinerama, wasn't it called Cinerama? It was about a big Cinerama print of a barn. And they wanted to know who did it. It was nice.
What's up with the peeps? How are the peeps doing?
Are the peeps stale. Out there? A little stale today.
Oh, that's a shame.
Thanks for asking, though.
Oh, it's an improvement on the condition.
We took in high school physics, we took a peep and like put it inside of a vacuum chamber and made it about the size of a basketball. And
then, the humanity!
And then watch it deflate. And then I think I ate part of it, and it didn't taste quite the same. I think we somehow altered the polycarbon chains in it or something. I really don't know.
And that's how you got this wonderful luminescent quality.
Yeah, <it's
laughs> high school science classes are so phenomenal because you do those things that have absolutely no point, you know?
Like building rockets for physics?
Right.
It turned into shooting rockets at the side of the gym and watching them explode.
That's my new favorite superhero, is the guy whose origin includes eating a vacuum, like a vacuum... chambered peep, like mild-mannered Matt Better in a high school science class consumed a vacuum chambered peep and now is the mighty Marshmallow Man. You know, like he can bow and see, he can put himself in, you know, into a, he can do that in a, like any vacuum. Okay,
he can do that. Tell him what that is. That consisted of raising my arms up and somehow expanding.
That was inflating. The international sign for inflating.
And then you bared your ass as per your contract.
Yeah,
I've never felt such quite dark and horrifying temptation as I did the day sophomore year chemistry in high school when Mr. Pape broke out the liquid nitrogen. And, oh my God, he's got this canister of it. He opens it up. It's giving off smoke and let everyone crowd around. I mean, just this dark, dark, dark temptation. I mean, I know at some point I may want my right hand back, but, I mean, just to plunge it in there and then smash it, seems like, wow. You know? That was a dark, dark temptation.
What happens when the stump thaws out?
it hurts.
Yeah, you know.
It hurts a lot.
Well, it probably hurts a lot when you put it in there in the first place. It burns. It's that so cold it burns thing.
Yeah.
So I want to know, does fire ever get so hot it's kind of chilly?
Like, actually...
Ooh, it's kind of chilly in here.
For a second when you said that, I actually thought I had a memory of fire being so hot it was cold.
Ice burn.
I know. Oh, my God. Maybe it was...
It's suppressed memory.
Either a suppressed memory or there's somebody else inside here. I don't know.
I think this goes back to his grandmother and chasing him around without the dentist.
I honestly think that's what it was.
I think that's what it was, is she chased him into a fire so she hot chased, it was chilly.
And I wasn't wearing the asbestos suit that was standard issue in our house. That just happened that day. It was in the wash. And it was cold. It was cold in that fire. It's really coming back to me.
That would be wonderful. The company that, you know, pre the badness of asbestos, you know, discovery. Like, yes, look, I bought my baby an asbestos sleep suit. No fire will hurt him.
We can make a playpen out of space heaters.
Fast forward 20 years.
My lungs are on the outside.
Grandma's just sitting on the couch munching on uranium.
Oh, there's nothing worse than watching my grandmother gum uranium. It's really terrible. Actually, have you guys ever seen, you know, those NyQuil liquid caps?
Yes.
That's much like I'd envision a uranium pill to be.
Except more luminescent.
Yeah, just a little bit. But about the same.
My freshman year of college, kids, this is, for those of you in high school, and I'm pretty sure 95% of you listening right now are, when you get to college, don't do what Eric did. I still don't do recreational drugs. I drink occasionally to forget. And, you know.
Are you saying don't do the not doing drugs? Or?
Yeah, no, this is what not to do.
Okay.
I got sick my freshman year one time. And so I needed to sleep because I had a test. So I took a NyQuil, like, you know, liquid night gel cap thing. And in the morning, I couldn't move. So I took a DayQuil. And I was fine. But then I couldn't sleep. So I took a NyQuil. And for 3 months, I had to take a NyQuil to go to bed and a DayQuil to wake up. Like, I couldn't function.
It's really rough.
It was horrible. It was really expensive. Like, I mean, and that's like a low power. That's like $5 a box. And I can't even imagine if I didn't have my salary now, like, you know, what would my coke addiction be like if I was... Ooh. So... Anyway, one time, the other thing not to do, kids, is don't mix your drugs if you're going to do them. I once took a NyQuil, but I decided to take it with a Mountain Dew. This is not a joke.
I know some street Mountain Dew, uncut.
This is uncut Mountain Dew. Actually, I think it may have been cut with like some Drano or something. They do that sometimes. But I ran around a dorm room for literally... 5.5 minutes. Like, I couldn't sit still. I wasn't doing it for effect. I was like, I took this, I sat for a minute, and my like knees started to bounce, and then I had to keep moving. I was moving, and I was moving around the room, and I was talking, and I was moving, and I was moving, and then all of a sudden I just fell down on the floor on this carpet. And I remember the carpet, this is my friend's rug, very vividly. It was this brown with like a red rim around it, and I slept there all night. It didn't move. I didn't wake up once. Don't mix your drugs, kids. Just do one drug at a time. Whatever that drug may be.
Wow.
You know?
That's a harrowing story.
Yeah. It was harrowing.
I have been positively harrowed.
There was harrowation.
I am greatly like Herod right now.
I'm dumbfounded.
Baby Jesus is outside.
Your dumbness has been founded?
I found it. I was
dumbfounded, 1982. So, yeah, that brings up something that's going on and affecting many people who may possibly be listening as finals week happening for U of I students right about now.
You silly, silly people.
Oh, finals.
Two out of the three of us are still dealing with the finals issue.
Yeah, another one of us just can't leave.
Yeah.
Okay, right now, so far my finals preparation has consisted of playing Donkey Kong 64.
Woo!
Which, by the way, is an excellent fun
game. Yeah, not that it connotes this should connote a commercial endorsement, but DK64, fan-freaking-tastic.
It is.
Fun stuff.
The Monkey Smash Battle Arena is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
You know, it's just, it allows you to step inside the monkey for just a little while, mm-hmm. and at the same time, beat the living snot out of your fellow monkeys.
Yes.
Have you played it long enough to like leave the monkey alone for a while? Like when you're playing the one person mode, if you don't move them for a while, they all have little different things that happen. Like DK standing there and he's waiting for you. And then a fly starts buzzing around him and he's like, and he can't get the fly because his big simian hands are not quite dexterous enough. He's like, finally it lands on his nose. He's like, he brushes away and it starts to fly out. And he's like, and then he gets this look in his face like, oh my god, I ate a fly. And so he starts looking around to see when he's watching him. And then he goes, it's phenomenal.
I ate a fly last year.
Did you?
It was in a bag of Whoppers. And I reached my hand in and I was like, oh, I thought it was like a little Whopper shard. This is like, because I was like at the bottom of the bag.
Well, where do you buy your Whoppers if they give off shards?
Well, no, so, you know, sometimes candy is fragmented. And, like, I put it in my mouth, and I was like, as soon as I put it, I was like, that's an insect.
I was going to ask, like, at what point?
My entomology 301 class taught me that that's an insect. And I immediately spit it out, and I looked around, much like our friend Donkey Kong does in the game.
God,
really
I wish
terrible.
Donkey Kong was my friend. I wish he would just come over sometimes and like throw his feces around my apartment and like hump my futon.
It's a really strange phenomenon, though. It's like Donkey Kong, back when the original Donkey Kong game, he was not a nice ape.
Oh, no.
But see, that's what the whole Mario canon has done. If you run Mario Party, which I think is probably the definitive work of the Mario mythology.
Oh, that's good.
Even Wario, who was like the evil, you know, genetic clone of Mario or whatever, he's hanging out with them. It's like they've decided to set it up like pro wrestling. That these people, they're all friends. They're all like, hey, what's up, buddy, buddy? It's now very postmodern. Like, Mario and the guys, they, like, all those, Mario, Luigi, Toad, Yoshi, the princess, like, all those people from that, like, DK and Diddy Kong and all those people, they exist outside the world of their respective games, and they hang out and go out for drinks and stuff. Like,
and, like Mario Party would be them hanging out.
Well, except that then they get all, then there's this whole thing about who's the bigger star, and that's what Mario Party is about, like, who is the biggest star? And that's what you're trying to decide. Who's
right.
The biggest. But they're all hanging out, you know, and they're not fighting. You know, Wario's, you know, sharing a brew with Mario. They're doing body shots off each other.
So it's almost like you have to, like, in the games where, say, Wario is an evil,
he's acting.
The evil mastermind. He's acting. It's like you have to learn to separate the art from the artist.
Right. As my friend Katie said earlier this evening, gotta understand the Nintendo world. This is a world where even the bad guys are pulling for the good guys. Because I was trying to figure out why would the bad guys put things like extra ammunition just lying around their head, you know?
Yeah.
Why would the bad guys put the big switch that turns everything off just, you know, anywhere? Like, why wouldn't, when they had all the other apes other than Donkey Kong, when they caught him, why didn't they kill him? Like, why did they even, and then why did they hide them in places with easily accessible switches to the cages? Like, this is a world, I think very succinctly put by our friend Katie, this is a world where even the bad guys are pulling for the good guys.
Yeah, that's really profound.
Yeah.
She's good. She makes a mean peanut butter bar. Philosophy to live by.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if this is a world where even the bad guys are pulling for the good guys?
Well, you know, I mean, Steven Spielberg's epic from a year ago, Saving Private Luigi, was pretty impressive. I mean, they're running up the beach, you know, and thankfully the Germans have left ammunition all over the beach, you know, and the Germans are actually only throwing coconuts.
Yeah,
so.
and then they left a couple of those fire flowers out, you know, and Mario was able to snag one and just start tossing fireballs all over the place.
When he grabbed that magical star, though, you couldn't stop him.
No, he was unstoppable.
He was running all over the beach at like hyperspeed.
Yes.
And it was great because all that was happening was he'd hit a Nazi and their little helmet would pop off and they'd make this noise and then they'd lay there and they'd twitch and they'd disappear. But then a few seconds later you'd see like, and there'd be another Nazi right there.
Well, yeah, and then like the coolest move is when you jump right on top of the Nazi's head, they get compacted, and then you can kick them, and they'll take out other Nazis.
Yeah, and it's interesting how that's a property, like, you know, exclusive to Nazis, because, if you step on Mario's, that he doesn't squish.
Right.
Oh,
Nazis.
Yeah, well, you know.
What a wacky bunch of fellas, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Those Nazis.
Yeah.
They had ideas. Yeah, they were definitely a group with ideas.
Yeah.
Really horrible ideas, but ideas nonetheless.
Okay.
So just real quick, if anybody else out there, and I know you guys didn't, but I went to a local watering hole last night and saw Guided by Voices live. And I just got to say, this is a rock experience which transformed my life. Here is Robert Pollard, the lead singer. He's like 47, 48 years old, chubby. Okay. His band was drunk. They were passing around like alcohol on stage and drinking. He had a cooler full of like beer that he was constantly drinking. They were all chain smoking, but the music was just unbelievable. Like, this is a man who just knows what he's doing, you know. It's like he was a rock star, but he looked like your dad. And they played, he said, he came out and early in the show said, we're not done until we play 50 songs tonight. And they played at least 50 songs. They played for 2.5 hours or so. It was a phenomenal show. So if anybody was out there, Amen, Alleluia, that you got to see that show. That was phenomenal. For the rest of you, if they ever come back through, like, that was the first time I've ever seen them, and I've been a big Guided by Voices fan for a long time, but if they ever come back through, really, whether you're a fan or not, it's a rock show you've got to catch.
Cool.
So, I just wanted to give that little endorsement, because I think Guided by Voices, their new album is phenomenal, and I think it's great.
So, any advice for people who are mired in the finals nightmare? Being, who we are.
Well, okay. A few of these. This year, it's Donkey Kong 64, my freshman year. I didn't shower for 4 days, mm-hmm. and I beat Resident Evil, the first Resident Evil, in 4 days. I stepped outside of the dorms once, and that was to go across the street and get a Hot Pocket. And it was a wonderful week. I passed my finals with flying colors. I just think it's like, I don't know, you really have to just, see, I can't study for anything for more than like 2 hours anyway, but just, you gotta unwind.
Hope against hope is what I say.
Yeah. Really.
Find hope and hope against it.
I mean, you just gotta know that you're better than the professors.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, you can use a Nintendo. This is something I decided while playing yet another Nintendo game. These things are all set up the same, all Nintendo games, and you can take this, stretch this analogy, or make an analogy to tests. These things are all the same. So you learn to play the test. Not the content.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, you've taken a few tests from this person, or you know this, you know, person who's making the test, your professor, whatever. You know what they're looking for in mm-hmm. a very general sense. So worry about that stuff.
Exactly. Like, I take a lot of history courses, that being one of my majors, and try to figure out, you know, the teacher is obviously teaching something that they're interested in. Try to find out what they're most interested in. You know, are they most interested in this, you know, this country's history from like 50 to 60, you know, or something like that. Avoid 50 to 60. Avoid their hot button times, because they're really opinionated. And if you go against the grain, they're going to get kind of bugged.
Yeah. An alternate route is just to shoot them. Walk right in and place slug a hot lead right between your teacher's eyes.
Well, I was like,
don't do that.
Actually,
don't ever, ever, ever do
that. Yeah, I don't like Eric's advice. I like Mark's, though. Like, remember organic chemistry? I found out that carboxylic acids were like my professor's weak point. So it's just like the reactions that I was writing down were technically wrong, but the end product was always a carboxylic acid, and I got 100% in the class. It was nice. It was really wonderful.
Are you serious? That's awesome.
I'm lying through my teeth. That didn't really happen.
You know,
why are you to be so honest?
Because I've got
truth
an honest
in comedy.
It is. It is.
And
truth
it was probably.
In
I bet
comedy.
You people laughed really hard when you said no. It's not true.
Well, it's just okay. Here's the thing. I'm not what people would call a compulsive liar, but I tell a lot of stories, and the stories and the things that I make up, it's just like within 5 or 10 seconds, I'm like, no, that didn't really happen. I'll say it. If I don't follow the story with the words that didn't really happen or I'm lying, then it's true. And like a lot of people, like, you know, it's kind of like the boy who cried wolf. I'll say something like, no, I was like, no, it really happened. I was like, it gets really frustrating. I dig myself a grave every once in a while, but
it's all right.
Like one time I told these girls in high school that I was moving to Texas. I don't know why I did this. I thought it was very funny. And, and I didn't follow it up. I didn't follow it up 5 to 10 seconds later with the statement of truth. They ended up planning a going away party for me.
Oh.
And
they liked you.
Within like the 2 days. Oh, yeah, it was like, actually, I think I was I was pining for both of them.
Did you get jiggy with it?
There might have been a chance for jiggy. Before the lie, but after the lie, whew,
post
no
post lie jiggy.
No, definitely not.
Well, you know, I thought maybe you'd get the jig.
Yeah, well, I see. I'm an honest.
So the
guy.
Jig was up, is what you're saying.
The jig was up.
Oh gosh, I'm a wordsmith.
I'm a word Jones.
I'm a Wainwright. I think that means I make barrels. Either that or wagon wheels. I'm not sure. One of those
I think it's
professions.
Wagon wheels. A Wainwright. What do you do? Well, I'm a Wainwright. So you're a waspy family.
I got extra credit in sixth grade. One of those oddly clear memories. I remember very little else of sixth grade. But I got extra credit for being able to identify the word for the guy who makes barrels. We were doing a Revolutionary War unit.
Which is?
I don't recall it anymore.
It's not Wainwright?
Yeah. Well, I don't think it is, no.
What was the... I used to know that.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just an example of how we're getting older and slower.
Yeah, well, if anybody knows the answer to that, like, what's the name of a barrel maker? This is one of those things that's going to be bugging me for the rest of the night.
Yeah.
I once got extra credit in fourth grade for we had a race to see who could say all their prepositions the fastest and say them all and say them audibly and like
all their prepositions
all the prepositions,
which is a really good
how many
not know. Prepositions I mean sorry yeah it, prepositions
months of the year
no it was prepositions
it's really a right. really useful yeah. test to give small children because I mean let you know we I think we can all agree now that we're adults we've been tested on our preposition critical recall
right.
frequently
about above across after against morning right up yeah except between by down during except for from and into and then I bottom out after into I don't remember the rest of them
is it I mean is it are the number of prepositions that limited where you can't
oh, yeah.
actually
respond? I mean it's oh, really? Like about above across after against morning right up before side between by down during except for from in into blah 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 there's a couple and then it's like of off on or on, off, on, of, off, within, without, under, there's through is in there.
Well, see, I went to
there's
school.
Like 30.
I went to school in Hawaii, and there's only four prepositions.
What is
about, within, in underground, which isn't really a preposition, but they do a lot of subterranean work in Hawaii. So...
Eric broke his microphone, so I'm going to be. I'm going to carry the show myself.
It was one of the dumbest things I ever said. I was like, yeah. "Let's touch this and see what it does."
Wait, turn his microphone off.
The counter ballast is working against you, there, Eric.
So Matt, let's have a conversation independent of Eric.
Wait, guys, this is a screw. How did I break it?
I don't know, man.
I didn't do it. That's what I said. It just broke.
Actually, that's a bolt, Mr. Hardware Illiterate.
I was driving over here, flipping channels, listening to something to sing along to, something, you know, song to belt out. No offense to the ambient show, but there's nothing to, you know, belt out, really, on the ambient show.
I do that all the time on the ambient show.
And so, I mean, like, I'll have that on for, like, the first hour and 40 minutes, but then, you know, I'm driving to the studio, I need something to warm up my vocal cords. Which are warm. And, you know, I need something to belt out. So usually I go for the oldie station. At that moment, nothing good was on the oldie station. I can't remember what, but it wasn't good. So I flipped over to the classic rock station. Figure, you know, belt out some prog rock, you know. If I'm lucky, maybe I get more than a feeling.
I was just going to say.
It'd be red hot when I come in here. But I flip over to the classic rock station, and they're playing Tom Petty's "Mary Jane's Last Dance," which, as I recall, dates from 1991.
Yeah, they're really updating classic rock, and it's really upsetting.
Yeah,
I don't really like it.
I mean, I like Tom Petty. I think he's a good guy. You know,
Now it's like it doesn't matter when the song was, just as long as the artist was recording during the classic rock era.
Yeah.
I think that's what they're doing.
And like in Tom Petty's case, Tom Petty knows some guys who were recording during the classic rock era, so he automatically qualifies.
Well, I mean, he was back late 70s.
Late 70s?
Really late 70s, though. Like, really late.
I'll still take classic rock from the late 70s. I mean,
I will.
Yeah, but I mean, I think the things people remember him for were 80s.
Yeah, probably. I don't claim to be a Teeps expert.
I can't really either.
One of my roommates.
I am
is
a Heartbreakers expert, which is weird.
The Heartbreaker? His band?
I am an expert on everyone who appeared in the film The Postman. So that covers a little bit of Tom Petty knowledge, but not a lot.
Well, okay. You started talking about prog rock.
Yes.
Rush counts as prog rock. I mean,
yes, it does.
Oh, my God. One of the greatest moments of my life
was beating up somebody who likes Rush.
No, we went up. We went to a concert in Indianapolis, and on the way back, we got this. It was great. It was this radio station in Indianapolis. It was called The Buzzard, and it would say,
"Oh yeah, I've heard that one."
105.1, The Buzzard, and then it'd go, "Bleah!" And it'd make this like buzzard noise. And we're driving back. We're rocking out. It was a great concert. It was G Love and Special Sauce. It was excellent. Wonderful, beautiful show.
And Rush.
And Rush opened up for him. But no, we're driving back, and this Rush song comes on, and one of my roommates, Nick, he really is not a big Rush fan, and he was incensed when Rush came on. And of course, to spite him, I crank it up, and I'm singing along. I forget which song it was.
Was it Tom Sawyer?
It wasn't Tom Sawyer. It was...
The Gilded Cage one?
I don't know.
New World Man?
No, it was one of
them. Which is the one that has the Shakespeare reference?
It's the
performers that portray us.
Yeah. Well, anyway, this Rush song comes on. It's like, of course, it's a Rush song. It's 7 to 8 minutes long. So we're driving. I sing the entire song,
and you're back in Champagne.
It fades out, and then it comes on again. And I sang it a second time. It was like one of those moments. It was like one of those
station
nights
accidentally played it twice.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought maybe it was like instead of like Double Shot Saturday, it was like two different songs by the same artist. They just play the same song twice. But it was. I was hoping that maybe it was one of those things where it was maybe Rush night, and they would just play that song all night. But God, I was such a happy man. One of the best moments of my life.
See, now I would, in the exact same circumstances, I would put that way down on my list of things that's happened to me.
Ever. Oh, it was wonderful. I was actually, if the radio station was gonna fade, you know, because we were traveling away from the range, and if that song was on all night and it was fading out, I was gonna turn around and drive back to Indianapolis and then drive back again.
Oh. It's a hell of a thing.
Classic rock.
All right, let's break for a song right about now. The phone number is 359-9338. Anybody got any strong opinions on what we should do next?
Advice. I think we should give some advice out.
Yes. Let's do that. You got a problem. We'll solve it.
Check out the hook. Well, if you feel like it.
Yeah, well,
if, you
right,
know,
we
don't in the interim.
Charlie consensual.
If you like, while the DJ, you know, revolves it.
Right. So give us a call, 359-9338. Tell us about your concern, your problem, your it's difficulty, anything that you'd like our
Franca?
Trained professional staff to give you
ice,
advice
baby.
On. You can reach our trained professional staff.
Look at her butt.
Oh, my God.
359-9338 will solve your problems in front of the larger part of East Central Illinois.
Oh,
please give us a call. 359-9338.
I'm thoroughly distracted.